My return to Victor was coupled with a pleasant surprise. Neighbours dropped in all evening with questions, the basic ones all of us were asking in 1955, when travel behind the curtain was just beginning and the communist world was still cloaked in mystery. But finally the last guest clomped across our little bridge, and it was time for bed. I stretched, reached for my nearly empty suitcase, and started to follow Cornelius up the ladder to the loft. "Just a minute, Andy," said Gelcher. I stopped. "We have something to show you." I got down off the ladder and followed Gelcher into the room off the parlour that had once been Mama's and Papa's. Every inch of it was filled with memories. Bass's wasted form beneath the blanket, Mama during the last months of the war, too weak to lift her head from that pillow. "With the new room for Papa finished over the shed, Andy," Gelcher was saying, "we've decided you should have this for your headquarters." I couldn't find my breath. In my wildest dreams of bliss, I had never imagined a room of my own. In this small house, I knew at what sacrifice Arya and Gelcher were making me this gift.
"Until you're married," Papa boomed from the living room.
Papa was beginning to make frequent remarks about his 27-year-old bachelor son.
"Just until you're married."
I somehow found words to say. A room of my own. That night, after the rest of the family had gone to bed, I closed my own door and went around my room just feeling my furniture. "Thank you for a chair, Lord. Thank you for a bureau. I would build a desk. I'd put it there, and I'd spend hours here in my room studying and working and planning." I had not been home a week before the invitations began to come in. Churches, clubs, civic groups, schools, everybody wanted to know about life behind the Iron Curtain. I accepted them all. In part, I needed the payment they offered, but I had an even stronger reason. Somehow, I felt sure that through the speeches, I was going to be shown what I was to do next. And that's what happened. A church in Harlem, where I was to speak, had posted advertisements all over town stating that my subject was to be How Christians Live Behind the Iron Curtain. I would never have presumed to speak on such a topic after a 3-week visit to one city, but at least the announcements did draw a crowd. The hall was jammed. And they drew something else, a group of communists. I recognized them right away. Some of them had been on the trip, and I wondered what heckling I might be in for. To my surprise, however, they made no move, either during the speech or during the question period that followed. But afterward, one of the women came up to me. She had been a leader of the Dutch delegation in Warsaw. "I didn't like your talk," she said. "I'm sorry, I didn't think you would." "You told only part of the story," she said. "Obviously you haven't seen enough. You need to travel more, visit more countries, meet more leaders."